Right. So when I joined this panel, I had a fabulous conversation with Stephen and Paul about what I should talk about. And I got thrown a challenge of, why don't you come up with a problem that you're seeing happen in wargaming as it's practiced right now and offer some innovative solution that helps fix the problem? And I stupidly said yes. That sounded like a manageable thing to do. So what I'm going to attempt to do in this presentation is frame one of the problems that I've been seeing come up in wargame design recently, which is that we seem to have decided that open adjudication is a way of dealing with some of the challenges we see in terms of bringing players into the adjudication process, making the adjudication process more transparent, making, hopefully, our adjudication results more reliable and better as a result. Here's the problem. How do I do hidden information if I've got an open adjudication system? That's sort of this tension that I haven't seen folks reconcile. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how I see hidden information coming into games, and then I'm going to say a few words about some of the ideas I see of where there might be some solutions. But sort of in the same way that Paul threw out, this is the area for help. I don't think I have a solution to offer. I think I have some sort of nascent ideas, and I'm hoping the room can pick up on things that have worked well for you and sort of troubleshoot some of these ideas as we look forward. So starting off by framing the problem, my first argument is one that we've heard many, many times over the last couple of days in different forms, which is that when we're gaming new emerging topics, we don't actually have the expertise we need to come in as an adjudicator and say, I know what will happen in this particular interchange. And there's been a number of different ways to solve it and a number of different formulations of this problem. One that I think is particularly good is Stephen Downs Martin's paper that came out of a connections panel several years ago. So if you haven't read that paper, I definitely point you towards that. But one of the common solutions I'm seeing is, well, let's open up adjudication. Let's allow players to interact with the adjudicators. Let's allow players to say, hey, I think that your probabilities are off. I think the units don't behave the way you think they do. I don't think the political structure works the way you think it does. So they have input into the process. That buys you leveraging of the player's experience very directly. But it also buys you transparency. That helps both in terms of having players believe that your results are reasonable, that you're not just making things up to mess with them, but it can also help when you go into analysis. You have a much clearer track record. And these are all things that I think are pretty obviously beneficial. We've heard a lot of these examples today, just very quickly to give you a sense of what I'm talking about. Single cell seminar games where you're just sort of talking through a problem set, perhaps in an interagency setting. Matrix and narrative games and an open board game like Rflex that Stacy was talking about are all examples of this type of open adjudication process. Here's where I think we have a little bit of a tension, because we're saying this is a method that's good for emerging issues, but a lot of those emerging issues that we're concerned about right now have to do with hidden information. Whether we're thinking about very traditional gaming topics like deterrence, where we're interested in the signaling that allows us to communicate or fail to communicate our intentions and our motives and our rationale, to things like cyber and space and information operations, where either you are obscuring the enemy's ability to have information or you're hiding your own actions. These become really critical parts of the types of activities we're gaming. And I think there's sort of a natural paradox here, that if you're allowing adjudication to be open and allowing all the players to buy into that process, it's very hard to keep information then hidden from the players. And that creates some real tensions in our game design that I haven't seen reconciled. So I want to dig in just a little bit more into what exactly the hidden information I'm talking about is. What types of hidden information are we looking at in games? And where do I see them come into game design? So I threw up a couple of issues that have hidden information. Here instead is looking at it as what are the types of information we're hiding. So I think we can have instances where we have hidden motivations. I don't want you to be able to know why I'm taking an action. I have my own either strategy or my own rationale or my own mental model about why I think you're gonna do things, and I don't want the other player to be able to see that. I'm taking a hidden action. I'm going to corrupt your networks, and I don't want you to know that I've been able to do that. I have a hidden capability. I don't want you to know that I have a zero day that's going to allow me to penetrate your networks and perpetrate these particular types of corruptions. Or I have a hidden effect. So I'm going to corrupt your network, and I'm going to make it so that you can't see that I've corrupted your network. So So you think the data you're getting is good, you think you have good situational awareness, and in fact, I'm playing around with your perception of reality. But if you know I'm playing around with your perception of reality, the whole thing falls apart. So where does that actually come into our gaming process? And what I've tried to map out here is just a very, very basic two-sided game with an adjudication cell. I think most of what I'm going to say holds across the spectrum of game formats, though that's something I'm definitely interested in debating. My point here is just to sort of break down what the major components are between the interactions between the sides. So where does this hidden information come in for those four types of problems I laid out? So when we need to mask motivations, really all we're trying to do is obscure the motivations of the players. That's pretty straightforward. Where it gets a lot more complicated is when we're interested in trying to mask the actions. Because now all of a sudden, it's not just why I'm doing something, it's what I'm doing, it's probably how I'm doing it. And then how do I talk about what the interaction effects between something I can see and something I can't see are? And then what are the effects of that? Are those transparent to me? Are those not transparent to me? Likewise, when we need to look at the hidden capabilities, I may not know, be able to defend why I can take an action. Maybe you can see the action, maybe you can't. But even in a case where you can see the action, maybe I just want you to know, hey, I sunk your submarine. I don't want you to be able to have gotten feedback about what the weapon system you used was. And similarly, I may not want you to know what units were interacting with each other. And finally, when we're thinking about what information is hidden when we're trying to mask the effects, that's really about the outcomes. So I want to have it that I've taken an action, and maybe you can see some of the effects and not all of the effects. I think we tend to think about this in terms of blue attacks red, and red will know what happened to them, but blue may not know how successful the attack was. I think this also works both ways, right? Sometimes red doesn't even know they've been attacked, so there's effects there that maybe both sides are unsure of. You could think of a cyber attack where I can't tell exactly how much your network's degraded, and I don't know, as my own network, how much I've been compromised. So there's obscuring on both sides. Okay, so then, if this is a problem, as I'm arguing it is, what are our solutions to get us out of it? And for the moment, I'm going to argue there's two big buckets of things that we try to do right now. One of which is that we run a game using closed adjudication, and we have the umpires have perfect control over all the information, the players don't have perfect control over the information, and the umpires can share only what would be relevant from the operational picture. So what that would be something like a very traditional fog of war game, even from classic Kriegsspiel, right? The problem with that is we've lost that open adjudication, the feedback from the players, the transparency. We've sacrificed all of that. Alternatively, we can go to a model where it's completely open. And I've seen games run this way, where all the adjudication is open, and instead of trying to obscure anything, we just tell the players, hey, forget you saw this. I think that's got some problems with it. Players are not as good at forgetting what they're not supposed to know because they get wrapped up in the gamification of it, right? They want to win. And if they know this information that maybe they wouldn't realistically know, but they do in fact know it, it's very hard to forget things. If you've been told the secret answer to the puzzle, all of a sudden that answer is really, really obvious. And it's not very clear how you would go about really training your players to selectively forget the information you want to, much less be able to check in your analysis process, did the players really forget the things I told them to forget? Or have they forgotten some different portion of the information? Or maybe they've remembered everything and it's influenced them all the way around. We lose all that transparency. So I don't think either of these are very successful solutions. What I think we want instead is something that might sit somewhere in the middle. What are our options that would allow us to have some hidden information and some open information so we get the benefits of both approaches? So as I said, I don't have a fully formed answer, but I have some initial thoughts about where we might be able to pull some answers that might be useful that I want to lay out. And the first, I'm sure many of you were sitting there as I was talking about those two buckets and saying, but wait a second, you talked about fog of war, you've talked about card games, aren't those ways of dealing with hidden information? And they are. So we can think about fog of war both in terms of a limited view of the map. So here we could think about something like Kriegsspiel, where you have board games that are in separate rooms. You can't visually see what this, you have two different operational pictures. We could also think about something like StarCraft, where the computer handles all of that very seamlessly. I think there's another type of fog of war we don't see as often, but there's a really nice example in Volko's game, Andy and Abyss, which is where we can see the position of a unit. We have map fidelity, but we don't know what that unit is. So he does this in a board game by just having the counter flipped over. So you can see there's a red unit there, but you can't see what the strength of the unit is or what the capabilities of that unit are. So I think those are some very classic ways to deal with this problem. There's also cards. Often cards are used to bring in randomized information, or you get something like a custom deck. So here you can think of something like Magic or Dominion, where you have the hidden information of what cards were in your deck that you brought into the game or what cards you bought over the course of the game. So that's a way for you to have concealed information from your opponent that still is sort of tractable and legible, because you could say, okay, what cards did you bring into the game? I think those are some traditional options, but I don't think that they necessarily solve all the problems we're looking at here. For example, I don't think these do particularly well when you've got sort of very high level strategy. Sometimes you can abstract it into cards, but often you end up with game mechanics that don't quite flow right, in my experience. Fog of War is labor intensive. When you're running those multiplayer Kriegspiels, you're spending a ton of time making sure those maps sync up. That's a lot of time that you're not analyzing the game, you're not having player engagement, you're just running around checking that your maps are squared up. Even if you have a computer system that runs all of that for you, it can still be very intensive to build the computer system in the first place. And now you've also lost a lot of the transparency that you bought yourself by using a board game in the first place, right? So we've talked earlier about how computer simulations can be harder to interpret. If you're using a computerized map interface, you've lost some of that. So where do I think there might be some other approaches to looking at this problem set that maybe we haven't mined so much? One of them is a concept from the social sciences called face validity. So this is the idea of, why should you trust that what I'm saying is right? Well, it's because it sounds sensible to you. If you have a result that seems reasonable, you're probably going to nod along with it. When you see an umpire's decision that makes no sense to you, you're probably going to throw it out the window. Where I think this is interesting is that you can start to think about why things are or are not plausible to different players. You can drill down with the players, hey, you're saying you don't think that this adjudication result is reasonable. Why don't you think it's reasonable? In other words, why does this not have face validity for you? Is it because I'm a new umpire you've never dealt with and you have no idea whether I know what I'm talking about? Is it because you've seen another game where you got very different results and you can't figure out why there's a disconnect here? Is it that you didn't like the dice roll and you just really want to re-roll the dice again? So those are all ways that we can break out why people are challenging results. Another and perhaps further afield approach to hidden information is something called a zero-knowledge protocol. And this comes from computer science and cryptology. And it's trying to grapple with this fundamental problem. I need to prove to you that I have a process for generating a solution. But I can't show you the process because then you'll know the process already and you're not going to pay me. So how can I demonstrate credibly to you that I have a process that's repeatable for generating a solution set that you will believe, but I don't have to show you the process? So in some ways, this is a really analogous problem to what we're talking about, right? I need to be able to adjudicate the results of your move in a way that you believe is credible, but I can't show you what the inputs into that move were. And the way zero knowledge protocols deal with this is by showing you part of the solution over and over and over again. So you can think about this, if I have a solution that will unlock a cave door, and there's two doors, and I need to demonstrate to you I can unlock either door on command. If you tell me unlock door A, and you walk back out of the room, and I unlock door A, do I have a solution or not? Well, there's probably 50, if I don't have a solution, I had a 50-50 odds that I could have opened the right door. Do it again. Now the odds that I don't have a solution have dropped. If I keep doing this long enough, I can have the confidence that I really do have a meaningful solution drop to meaningfully zero over time as I keep repeating this demonstration process. What I think is interesting here is the notion that we'll have partial observation repetitively, and that will start to allow you to say, yes, I think this is credible, or no, I don't think it is credible. So going back to game design, what does all that actually mean meaningfully in terms of how we should structure our game designs? So going back to my four types, hidden motivation. I think this is probably the most straightforward, in part because it's something we've gamed over and over again because we've been gaming deterrence issues for so long, right? So I need to be able to take an action but not tell you why I'm taking the action and see whether I can communicate signaling successfully with you. And normally the way this gets done, and I think it's a reasonable way to do it, is that the team records its objectives privately. You go in, only show the adjudicators your action, or maybe you slip the adjudicators your method on paper, but you're not telling the other teams. You're not exposing what your rationale is. So you have a closed discussion and then open adjudication to resolve it. I think that one's pretty straightforward. I think hidden actions, because there's so much of the process of the game move that could possibly need to be obscured, gets more complicated. And that's where I think this sort of iterative result might be helpful. And I think there's a couple of ways we might be able to think about iteration. One of which is that you could start the game with test rounds. So this is somewhat akin to the way we beta test the game to make sure it's working right. And sometimes we have players come in, okay, let's play a couple practice rounds, help you learn the moves. How about rather than thinking about that as an educational and troubleshooting thing, thinking about that as a demonstration of credibility. I'm going to do a couple of rounds of adjudication openly. You can see how the process works. You can see the factors I'm taking into account. You can give me feedback now. Okay, now we're gonna go into the game mode and we're gonna close the adjudication, but I still have face validity because I've showed you a couple of rounds of how I'm thinking about the problem. Alternatively, we could think about post-game. We can do surveys that try to pull out from the players what observations, which of the adjudication results seemed reasonable to you, which ones didn't, and you can start asking them, why did you not think that result was reasonable? And you can see, are there common threads coming up about, oh, the same people think adjudication, this adjudication didn't make sense, and they all have this one surface background. That tells me my model's probably missing something from that surface background. And then the last, which I think in some ways is the most intriguing, is that we can run serial games. And we can start with more open adjudication, and as we start to develop a more concrete rule set, we can start to close down and hide some of that adjudication because now we have some understanding of the factors that are coming into play. The problem with this one, obviously, you need a sponsor who's willing to invest in having multiple runs of a game that are going to build results only gradually and only over time, and I think that's a hard sell right now. Somewhat similarly, I think when we're talking about hidden capabilities, we're in the same position that we need to have some sort of iteration in order to either build up face validity or to sort of show partial answers that will tell people, hey, look, there's a reason to believe that I probably know what I'm doing with my adjudication. So you could think about an instance where you adjudicate the same interaction multiple times and you show players a range of, you know, sort of here's how the distribution fell, here's the sort of point that was the actual live role, and you can get some feedback about that decision space. Does that feel right? That works okay if you have something where it's a more quantifiable one. Probably isn't going to work so well with some of these squishy things. Or similarly, again, we can go to that serial game model, but then we've got to have the investment in the time and the resources from the sponsor. And then the final one for hidden effects, again, I think some of the tools we have right now for thinking about having an open discussion and then just resolve, so here's what the interactions are, here's what we think about it, and I just roll the die behind a screen. So you get the hidden effects, but you might not necessarily know where exactly those effects are manifesting themselves on the actual page. I think this is labor intensive, but relatively within the toolkit that we have as gamers right now. So that's sort of as far as I have fumbled my way to a solution. What I'm hoping we can do in some of the discussion is talk about approaches you guys have found that work better for some of these types of problems. But I think the other point that's worth bringing up is all of these solutions I've proposed involve a lot of extra work. Is that work worth it? Can we sell sponsors that it's meaningful and important to have in these games? Or are we actually just better off saying, you know what? Maybe this is something we need a different type of analysis for. We need to look at triangulating other types of analytic results rather than just trying to solve the problem of hidden information within the war game solely.
Thank you very much.